Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up and welcome into the CHGO Bulls podcast presented to you by PointsBet. Don't forget that promo code CHGO when signing up your PointsBet account to live your bet life. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Welcome back. I'm Peck. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls underscore Peck. My guy, Will the Goat Gottlieb, is at Won't Gottlieb. Big Dave at Bow, B-A-W-L Sports. We are CHGO underscore Bulls and very excited to bring y'all today somebody we're all excited to talk to ourselves. One of the best NBA cap and contract experts out there. You can catch his work on sites like SpotRack, also the NBA Front Office show on YouTube, their YouTube channel. Check it out. Subscribe if you aren't already. He is the one, the only, Keith Smith. Follow him on Twitter at Keith Smith NBA. Keith, welcome to the pod, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Now I've got a lot to live up to after that intro, so I'll try to do my best.
Well, speaking of all of the work that you do, I just saw earlier today that you dropped your free agent by position rankings on SpotRack. Man, how long does it take you guys to compile all of those lists? Because there's a lot in there.
Yeah, it probably takes me. I obsess over the rankings part of it. So longer than I should admit when like I'm ranking like power forwards nobody cares about in the 20s, you know, like that part's just my own obsessive broken brain. But I to actually, once the rankings are done, write it up a couple hours on each one, and then to put it together with the gentleman who actually does all the real work on SpotTrack, I think it takes him probably about 45 minutes to an hour or so.
Keith, to do what you do, you have to have a real deep love of the game of basketball. So I'm curious as to where your love for that kind of started and what made you say, hey, I can focus in on this aspect of the game.
Yeah, my love for the game started. So I grew up in just south of Boston on the 80s and 90s, Larry Bird Celtics. So it was very easy to fall in love with the game. For me, it was my family's wintertime sport. Like, they all loved it. My dad, about as soon as I was old enough to reach a 10-foot rim, put a hoop up in our driveway. And I had a lot of time. My dad traveled for a living. He was home like one weekend a month. My mom was working her job. So I had a lot of time after school by myself. And the great thing about basketball, it's one of the only sports you can do by yourself. Yeah. To practice. So that was where I really fell in love with the game. The contract stuff grew out of, I was that kid, you give me a new copy of Madden or NBA Live back in the day, the first thing I did was like, I got to fix all the rosters because I can't play. But they're wrong. Right? Yes. And these were in the days before you popped online and downloaded a new roster, right? Like you do now. Like, that didn't exist. So out of that grew into how does this work? How does that work? And I remember hearing things like this team can go over the cap with bird rights to sign a guy and all that stuff. And I got super interested in that part of it. And when I actually was like, I want to learn this, I legit cold called the NBA and said, hey, dude, can I get a copy of your collective bargaining agreement? And they were like, no, that's not something we do. So then I proceeded to cold call the Players Association and ask them the same question. And their response was, and this kind of gives you a sense of, this was before it was all online, they said, yeah, sure, send us a self-addressed stamped envelope and a check for $3 made out to NBA Players Association. We'll send you a copy. And wow, like 2-3 weeks later, I got a bound copy of the CBA. And then fairly soon after that, it all started going online. And in that I love that. My professional life before basketball was a lot based on numbers and facts and figures and things like that and forecasting. So it's just a natural thing for me. I love the roster stuff, and a big part of that is obviously the cap. So I get super involved in that as well.
Wow. The idea of sending a check for $3 in today's day and age right? sounds so ridiculous right now.
It's like when the dude fills out a check for 60 cents for that thing of milk at the grocery store. Right?
The it's not even worth the amount of the paper and ink right. printed. Yeah.
So Keith, did you just like pour through the CBA, or were you like reaching out to people to try to figure stuff out? Were you talking to teams? Like, how did you go about learning this stuff in such detail? Because to Matt's point, like, you really are sort of the expert on this stuff. And it's very difficult. It's very easy to watch the game and just go, oh, I like what this guy's doing. He can dribble the ball, or he can shoot the ball. Like, I can sort of teach myself the game that way. But this seems like a whole sort of different beast.
Yeah, it's funny you ask that, because for me, it's the opposite. Because I find when it's rendering just strictly an opinion, there's so much subjectiveness in there. And I guess I have a natural fear of, what if people don't see it the way I do? Well, what if they don't think this guy is good? Or what if there's something I'm missing? Like, I see, you know, this player is really good. And then, you know, especially now in today's stats, you know, burdened almost sometimes world, it is, you know, let you know, well, yeah, you think he's good, but he's actually not efficient and all these other things. And it's like, oh yeah, I guess you're kind of right. The CBA for me, I like, is it's very black and white, right? So I can get into it and there it is, and that's it. And I know what's possible, what's not possible, how it works. But learning it helped me consider, because I'm not a lawyer by trade by any means. So understanding all the legalese part of it is really hard. I struggled through that in those initial years. But then when Larry Kuhn put together the CBAFAQ.com, then what it made very easy for me is I would read until I got stuck on something, find the corresponding part on the FAQ in plain English, and then work through it there. The Real GM message boards were huge. There were a couple other cap nerd guys out there, some of whom were involved in helping to create the FAQ with Larry. So they were always super helpful with that. And then it was just, you know, every year, or not every year, but every iteration, it was, all right, I have the base. Now I got to learn all the new stuff. And some years there's a few new things. In other years, it's like, hey, we basically blew it up and we're starting all over again. And then it's like, all right, let's learn it. But yeah, it's just, you know, time, effort, asking a lot of questions and a ton of helpful people. Still today, like I don't know if you guys saw, but I had a little bit of a journey the other day with Evan Fournier's contract, because there was this rumor that the Celtics were going to try to reacquire him. And I was like, well, I can't. It's within the same year, so they can't do that. I literally had people from the league, people from that had been in the league, on opposite sides of like, no, they can't. And then other people like, no, they can. And it was all coming down to how you define the word season. Is it season, like meaning through the last game, or through the league year, which is very often used interchangeably, including in the CBA itself. So it was,
it was fun.
No. And long story short, Boston could reacquire Evan Fournier, is where we all landed. I don't think they will, and I don't think they should. But that's the kind of stuff for me that when I get stuck on it, I got to know. So then I start being a real pain in the tail and asking everybody, and you know, what do you think on this? Weigh in, you know, what do you think? And we probably had, at one point, I think we had like a group chat going with like 20 people, like, and it was like-minded people like me that were in a full-on argument about semantics of the word season. So it was fun. It was a good, I enjoyed that. I don't know, the best time spent when I have a lot of other work to do right now.
Keith, as you probably guessed, we're going to ask you about Zach LaVine and his impending crazy in just a minute here. But before that, something that a lot of Bulls fans have been maybe confused by discussing Zach LaVine's future is this concept of the Bulls being able to be the only team to offer him a 5-year deal for that full $212 million, as opposed to any other team only offering him 4, and some fans sort of misinterpreting what sign-in trades can be and how they can work in the league, because some people were either suggesting the Bulls sign-in trade Zach because they didn't want to pay him this huge contract, or are fearful that he could leave and still get all that money via sign-in trade. It doesn't work that way. The Bulls can't sign and trade him on a five-year deal. I'm curious if there's one misinterpretation or one misunderstanding that you see the most in your line of work and having become an expert on everything CBA and everything cap that a lot of NBA fans don't understand and need to understand.
I will say, since I've started doing this, even the more casual fan has become far more educated on understanding it. I think you have some people who they fly in now because maybe the team they like has been out for months or whatever, and they're just popping in. And sometimes I think people just, they like the transaction game part of it. And sometimes with those folks, and even some people who love the game, they just don't understand this part of it, think, well, player X left who made $30 million, so let's just re-sign somebody for $30 million, and that's not really how it works in the league. So that's one. And then amongst the more educated fans who understand, I think because it has become such a major thing in the last couple of years, is the hard cap and the concept of what does that mean. I think that's been a stumbling block for a lot of people. I will say for Celtics fans specifically, because that's one of the teams I cover, they're hung up on traded player exceptions right now because that's been kind of life over the last couple of years. For one full year, it was the disabled player exception because of Gordon Hayward getting hurt. But those are things that you're getting a little bit deeper in. And, you know, part of my thing is I don't ever mind answering questions and trying to educate people. Sometimes I'll if I've written something, I may just reply with a link and say, hey, it's here. You know, read what I wrote so I don't have to re-explain it. What gets me is, and I had this just at the end of last week with the whole Kyrie Irving situation, was someone was asking me, well, can't the Lakers just give him a max? And I was like, no, because they don't have cap space. Well, why don't they have cap space? And I was like, oh, okay, this is a, you know, reasonable back and forth. And I explained it. And then the response was, LOL, nerd, who cares? All right, well, that was a good use of all of our time.
Just the best,
right? Yeah, and it's like, okay, well, I'm glad we spent this time together. It's you know, let's never do it again. And it's just like, you know, and at some point, you guys will see me at some point on Twitter. I will say this summer, because I say it every free agent period, someone will say, well, who says that doesn't work? Math. It's literally just math. Like math says it doesn't work. Yeah.
I love nothing more than when Keith gets on a tirade on Twitter, just calling out idiots for saying dumb stuff. I love it.
That honestly was about to be my next question to you. And I'm glad you're at, because I wanted to know how frustrated you get when somebody just says something like, well, why don't you just sign this guy? And how frustrating it is for you. Like, it's not possible to sign this guy. Well, why not? Why isn't it possible? You're like you said, because math. Yeah. Because of simple things like, how, because you've been at it for years now, you know what I'm saying? Like, so have you come to terms with it, or are you kind of like my man Matt, you know, you kind of get it out of you, you know what I'm saying, online to some people?
If people are respectful and they're just not getting it, I don't have any problem with that, because this stuff is complicated. And I don't mean to, you know, disparage the people who like video games or the 2K games, but they've made it, it's kind of accurate, but it's not really accurate. And that's the thing, I think, in some ways that's ruined stuff for people. And sometimes if I'm feeling a little snippy, I'll be like, because you can't turn the cap off. Like, it doesn't work that way. I get frustrated when people get, either they are being, you know, like purposefully obtuse, or they're being, if they're ever being, you know, disrespectful, then I get frustrated. And that's when, as Will said, I have no problem quote tweeting someone and letting a whole bunch of people see, hey, if you want to be a disrespectful idiot, be a disrespectful idiot and let the whole world see it. Like, let's go. You know, not that the whole world follows me by any means, but right, let's let everybody see that follows, because, you know, let's go. And that's where, you know, the people, I can't tell you the number of times I'll get a response back. You don't have to quote tweet me now, look at all that stuff. Well, you didn't have to be a jerk, so we both made decisions today.
Oh yeah, you got it in you, Keith. I like it. I like it a lot.
I can be pretty petty at times. It's, you know, like I said, I grew up just south of Boston, and there's nothing do we like better than getting in a fight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You want to come? We're happy to come with a fight for you.
We say, how about them apples? I got you.
Pretty much, yeah.
So, Keith, before we dive into the Zach stuff, in case there are any of our listeners out there who just want like a really quick refresher course on some of these terms that we'll be using, can you just kind of quickly, you know, dictionary style definition, like what is the cap? What is the hard cap? What are teams in the tax? And what is that space of the apron in between? And what does that NBA cap project to be and that hard cap project to be in this upcoming 22-23 season?
Yeah, so the salary cap for this year, the most recent projection provided by the NBA was $122 million. That's the same for every team. That's another thing that comes up sometimes. I think people think, I think the NFL, because they've done some things where you can roll over cap space and the like, doesn't work that way in the NBA. Everything essentially, to some extent, resets cap-wise on July 1st when the league year flips over. So $122 million salary cap. Now the NBA has a soft cap, so you don't have to come in underneath that, right? You can go over, and the vast majority of the teams will be way over by the end of free agency. Probably, you know, I mean, the Golden State Warriors are, you know, they're so far over it, they can't even see the salary cap. Never mind the luxury tax line. Now, the luxury tax line for this year projects to be $149 million. What happens is if you're a first-time taxpayer, you get it with a penalty of a dollar-for-dollar penalty on that. If you a repeat team, which means it's a little bit of a misnomer because it's not just your second year. You have to be in it 3 or 4 years. And then on that fourth year, it triggers. But those penalties, pending how much you're over the tax line, they can go up, and it can be almost as much as almost $5 per dollar over. That's why when you hear things like the Warriors sign somebody for $2 million, but it's going to really cost them 10. That's why, because they're paying the stiff penalty on that. The tax apron, or otherwise known as the hard cap, is about $6 million above the tax line. So about $155 million. It'll go slightly more than that, but it's right around that amount. Now that tax apron only comes into play. You only really care about that if you are a hard cap team. The only way you become hard capped is by doing one of three things. Either you use the biannual exception, which for Bulls fans, not available to them because they used it last year to sign Tristan Thompson. Can acquire a player via sign and trade. That would hard cap you as well at that 155. Or you use the non-taxpayer mid-level, a portion of that that's equal to the taxpayer. So I'll break that down, make it super easy. You use about $10.4 million of that. Is the full taxpayer. If you use $6.4 million of that, you're hard capped. So you'll still have that. But if you're hard capped, you're fine as long as you stay under the hard cap amount. It's basically set there to basically say, hey, there's a limit to what you can spend or what you can acquire players for if you're over. For example, the Warriors are way over that hard cap line, so they can't take in a player via sign and trade. They don't get the biannual exception, and they're only going to get the taxpayer mid-level to spend. So that kind of hopefully gives you a good range of, you know, what we'll be talking about on these different things.
And so you broke all that down very eloquently. Thank you for doing that. I'm curious now if you can sort of like reframe that into where the Bulls are with their cap sheet right now. A lot was made of Arturas Karnišovas and Mark Eversley's ability to operate above the cap in last offseason. Right now, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, they'll be below the cap before they re-sign Zach LaVine. So I want to get your thoughts on that, but just sort of framing it before they do anything, where are the Bulls right now in terms of cap space?
I'm glad you asked it the way you asked it, because in terms of actual salaries on their books, they'll probably be below the cap. But there's a thing that comes into play in the NBA called cap holds. And what a cap hold does is that essentially is a placeholder amount for a reasonable estimation of what the player may get paid. So in the case of Zach LaVine, he's coming off a 19.5 salary, I believe. So he has a cap hold of $29.25 million. And what those cap holds do, why they're there, is I think even the most casual fans understand to re-sign your own free agents, you can go over the cap. What those cap holds do, though, is they're not going to let the Bulls spend up to that $122 million cap, then re-sign Zach LaVine. So that cap hold applies against the cap space. So in all reasonable purposes, the Bulls will, as long as they have Zach LaVine on their books, they will function as an over the cap team. This summer, they will not have cap space to go sign players, but they're under the tax and they should have enough room to re-sign Zach LaVine and then do some other work and fill out their roster without triggering the hard cap or maybe even going into the luxury tax. That kind of is dependent on what they do with couple more of the fringe roster guys like Matt Thomas, Troy Brown, those kind of players.
Matt Thomas, by the way, was in our building today at the Dalen Terry introductory press conference. We'll get more into the Dalen Terry stuff tomorrow, but I did see Matt Thomas and Marko Simonovic there today.
Big ups. Big ups to them both.
Yay.
Great. New Dave would be very happy about that one.
I was over the moon, Will. Oh, it's a great day for basketball, sir. Oh, Keith, I'm curious to know how do you rank the Bulls front office and how they handle these contracts and how they make these moves? And do you see them as very smart, very shrewd? Where do you kind of rank the Bulls front office in those terms?
Yeah, it's funny. If we were having this conversation a few days into free agency last year, I might have answered this very differently. Because I didn't really like the offseason that they put together. I was not a big fan of the DeMar DeRozan addition, the Lonzo Ball one. I didn't have as much issue with that, but it was really DeRozan one that kind of threw me. And I'm perfectly happy to say I was wrong, right? DeRozan had plenty left in the tank, and I thought their team came together quite well the past year. So I think what's hard is we have one cycle to judge them on, one off season, one trade deadline, one draft. So we're kind of through one cycle of it. So I think now what we're kind of looking at is what is their long-term vision for the roster? Cause that'll start to come together a little bit more so now. Whereas it had been kind of we could see the short-term vision with that. So now we're seeing all right, this is where we want to go long-term. We'll start to understand that a little bit better. I also think, too, they came in with some things on their plate that weren't really their decisions, right? So you got to either work with those or work around those. That's the case with any new front office. Overall, I think they're doing a really good job. I think they've got I think they did a nice job building out the team last year. I think they've done well with limited resources as far as they didn't have, $70 million in cap space. They didn't have, a million extra first-round picks and all those other things, even with some first-round picks already laid out to go out in the Vucevic trade and those kind of things. I think they've done a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm. Plenty more talking with Keith Smith, NBA cap expert, coming up next on the CHGO Bulls podcast. But first, I mentioned it at the top of the show, today's episode brought to you guys by our dear friends at PointsBet. And the best way to support CHGO is to download that PointsBet app and use promo code CHGO when signing up. If you do that right now, you're going to get those two risk-free bets up to $2,000. But that's not it. If you make that $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our amazing web content. You'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. We just dropped some new merch in that CHGO locker a few days ago. That's 2,000 free bets, a free CHGO membership, a free t-shirt for the CHGO locker, all for just making that $50 or more first-time deposit at PointsBet. And don't forget that promo code CHGO when you sign up. So what are you waiting for? It's time to elevate your live betting game at PointsBet. Once the game starts, don't just bet. Will the thrill. Tell them what you do.
You live your bet life.
And there it is. All right, Keith. So I think the big question on the minds of Bulls fans as we are just a couple of days away from free agency now is, assuming they do, offer Zach LaVine that max contract and he says yes, and that part is taken care of, to-do list 1A, check. Then Bulls fans wonder, what other resources, what other kinds of things can AK and Mark Eversley do around the fringes to still improve the talent on this roster? Because this is a team that, after key injuries to a couple of guys, went from sharing or holding the number one seed in the East for the first two thirds of the season all the way down to the sixth seed, and had a pretty, you know, whimpery exit, losing to the Bucks in five in the first round. I think everybody believes that this team, in addition to just retaining Zach LaVine, needs to add talent. How can they do it after signing Zach to that max contract?
Yeah, part of what's going to answer that question is the willingness of ownership to dip into the luxury tax. If they're willing to do that, then they have the ability. It'll get a little bit tight, but they're not necessarily sitting on like 5, 6, 7 open roster spots if they re-sign LaVine. Because I have it as, you know, they're guys who are under contract. I think Tony Bradley probably opts in, would be my guess on it. That's my read at the moment. And then you re-sign LaVine, you've got Dalen Terry. You've got two, three roster spots to work with. If they're willing to go into the tax, what the Bulls could do then is they could use the full mid-level, which gives them that 10 point, it's about 10 point 3 million in spending power to go get somebody, or they could use maybe just a portion of that you don't have to necessarily use all of it. You could use 7 million of it or something, and then fill out your roster likely like most teams do, with a couple minimum signings on the very back end, and that would keep them just into the tax. If they don't want to go into the tax, then you're looking at LaVine, Terry, running it back with a handful of minimum signings around those guys. Neither way is right. Neither way is wrong. I think this year, because of the lack of overall spending power, you're going to be able to pick off a handful of good vets on minimum type deals. I think they'll be able to be able to do that. I think, you know, their status as a, if everybody buys into, all right, healthy, they're a contender, then that helps you get veterans for the end of the bench too, right? Because veterans always want two things. It's knowing if I'm taking a minimum, the money's the same everywhere. So then I want to play and I want to win. Those are the two things I want. And I want to be a part of it and I want to win. Yeah, I mean, you might be able to get a guy who doesn't really care about the playing time, but then you can always get those guys. So I'm not really overly concerned about that. So I think they have a chance to fill this thing out pretty good. And that's before you obviously get into any trades or anything like that. And they could obviously, you know, there's all sorts of things they could do there, but just, you know, with straight signings, that's basically the position you're in. So my guess is re-sign LaVine to his full max, use probably a pretty good chunk of the non-taxpayer MLE, that 10.3 million, fill out with a couple minimums, and that's your roster to start the season.
And so to clarify, they are not able to use their biannual exception because they used a portion of that on Tristan Thompson last year as a buyout candidate. Yep. They will have upwards of 10.3 million in the MLE, but don't necessarily have to use the whole thing. And then they've also got a $5 million trade exception via the Daniel Tice sign and trade, which happened last year. During free agency, would they be able to sign multiple players into that mid-level exception?
Yeah, you can break that up any way you want. What's become a very popular thing for teams to do over the years, and I believe, let me double check because I don't want to say something wrong here, but I think I'm right on this. Yeah, the Bulls did that last year. They took that, and that's actually but maybe this isn't the greatest thing to say, but that's how they signed Marko Simanović. They gave him a chunk of it. Maybe they should have done that for Ayo Dosunmu instead of the 2-year deal with him, but that, you know, that's water under that bridge has already gone through. So it is what it is. But yeah, you can break that up. You can break that up any way you want, as long as the contracts fit within that. And the reason why you use some of it is in order to give a minimum that goes longer than 2 years, you have to use cap space or a part of an exception to do that. So what teams have regularly done now is they'll carve out a chunk of that for like second round picks and those kind of things. I know the Bulls didn't have a second rounder this year, if I remember correctly, right?
So they don't have one until like 2045. At this point.
Oh, and this year was one of those years, and there's the forfeit year, right?
Right.
But with that, so yeah, so that's a whole other thing. But yeah, that's so that's that definitely happens. The one thing, you're absolutely right on the biannual. If you used any portion of it, you don't get it the next year. So they used a portion of it. I think the reason why they did that last year was reading the tea leaves a little bit, saying, if we re-sign Zach LaVine to a max contract, we're going to be so close to the hard cap anyway, we won't be able to use it. So might as well try to bolster our front court now and go forward with that. And I think they read that situation correctly. Maybe not the correct signing, but situation was read correctly. And then the trade exception, the important thing to note there is that can't be used to sign players. You can only use that to get players via trade. And the important note on trade exceptions is their contract has to fit within the trade exception amount. Right. So it'd have to fit within that $5 million.
Mm. Now, one of the things Bulls fans have been talking about a lot is getting Rudy Gobert. That's been a big thing among Bulls fans, is getting Rudy Gobert on this team. I don't think Matt Will or myself thinks that was going to happen or ever going to happen, but Bulls fans wanted it to happen and wanted to go down. Now, he comes with that big, huge contract, the $40 million that he makes. Can you kind of explain what the cap ramifications would be of a Rudy Gobert trade?
Yeah, so you have to match salary in a trade. This is one where it's you can't just, you know, this, I always like to say that this isn't Major League Baseball where you just, you know, hey, we're going to trade you right, four prospects who make a total of $1 million together for your $30 million outfielder and off we go. It doesn't work that way in the NBA. You have to match salary. Now, it doesn't have to, when we say match salary, it's match salary within the trade rules. So in this case with Rudy Gobert, the Bulls are going to be close enough to the tax, likely, because I would assume you're not going to go get Rudy Gobert if Zach LaVine leaves. That would be, now you're working in opposite directions. So I'm going to assume Zach LaVine stays and then you go trade for Rudy Gobert. So in order to do that, you've got to get basically within, it's the best way to think of it is about 75% of his total salary. So he makes, I think it's about $36 million. So you got to get to about, well, what is it? That's $28, $29 million or so within that range to get there. So that's how much you have to send out. So in that case, that's why I think it's become very popular to say, well, that's Vucevic and Pat Williams or Vucevic and Kobe White. There it is, right? Because that's the easiest way to do the math. $22 million for Vuce, $7 million for one of the other guys. We're there. Off we go. And everybody's happy as far as the trade machine works. Now, this is my other favorite thing I like to say at this time of year. Just because the trade machine says good deal, off we go, doesn't mean it's a good deal and off we go. Right?
Say that again, please, Keith.
I think I need to hear that again. I have a problem.
Yeah, the trade machine can be tough, man. I might have killed a few afternoons at my former work job. I will, you know, and I would highly encourage everybody, the one I think that is the least buggy is ours on Spot Track. I think we've got it pretty well hammered out and opt out there too. You can do things on Spot Track too. You could literally pick the Bulls and then do their whole off season. You can renounce players, re-sign players, do all sorts of stuff and play and probably kill, you know, hours and hours of you know, productive time otherwise to doing
can
that and have a lot
confirm.
Of fun. Yeah, pretty much. So, but yeah, I guess, it's funny because I like to say, you know, I run across some Bulls fans out there in the wilds who are like, no, Rudy Gobert, you know, and then it's funny. You guys know how it is. You put a tweet out and then seven dudes are arguing in your mentions. And I'm like, I don't remember what this tweet was about. Sometimes if I get nothing better to do, I scroll all the way to the top. I was like, this tweet was about John Wall. Like, why are we arguing about Rudy Gobert to the Bulls? Like, right. Can you untag me, please? And then thank God for the mute conversation button. Right. So, but yeah, it's so that's where you get to math wise on that though. It doesn't have to be that, right? Because you could do DeRozan in a couple smaller contracts. You could do Lonzo Ball, but the easy one obviously that everybody goes to is Vooch plus one of the $7 million guys.
And so a lot of people will argue, well, Rudy Gobert's like $38 million, whatever it is like a total albatross. And that, like, aside from the fact that I disagree with that from the standpoint that he's, you know, an all-star player and one of the best rim protectors of all time, what would that mean, a trade like that, assuming it was Vooch plus Kobe? And I won't even mention Patrick Williams' names because I know what the ramifications of that are, assuming it's just Kobe and Vooch and the Bulls take on that extra about $10 million in salary, what happens to them moving forward and their ability to sort of maneuver? Obviously, I think they'll be a luxury tax team at that point, but are they able to continue to make moves, or does that basically prevent them from doing anything ever again?
I don't know about ever again. That's the other thing with the NBA. No contract ever runs more than 5 years. So, or 5 years in an extension. No, nothing runs longer than a 6 year window. So, as long as you can wait that out, that's longer than most marriages last now. So I think you could make that work. But I think it's, if we look at this, what that really does do though, because then, let's play game this out a little bit, right? You have Zach LaVine re-signed for, at that point, 30 plus 40 million in that range. You've got DeRozan for another year, 28.6. You've got Lonzo Ball at, I think, 20.5. And I'm talking 23, 24, because we're talking beyond just this season. Then you'd have Gobert on the books at 38 million. So you're basically kind of locked in for at least a couple years. That's your new core. Now that'll flip. You'd likely be a tax team, as you said. So then you'd have the taxpayer MLE that year moving forward. You're probably, because you're going to be dancing around the hard cap line enough, you're probably not making signing trades and doing those kind of things. But regular trades, your draft picks, I know they've still got some obligations to fulfill on that front too down the line. But you're looking at, that's how you're building out. So you're basically building. It's not quite the lock into three stars and that's it kind of approach. But you're kind of saying, all right, we've kind of got our four guys, maybe five if Patrick Williams continues to develop. And then we're going to fill out our bench with minimums and the exceptions and kind of go from there.
And at that point, assuming they were in the tax or they would reach the tax if they decided to use their mid-level exception, at that point, they would only be able to use the taxpayer mid-level, correct, which is like 6.4 instead of the non-taxpayer 10.3, which is what they currently have.
Yeah, that would be for this year and then going up, obviously, slightly each year moving forward.
So all that to say, there is some flexibility to add players, even if they add Rudy Gobert and are locked in for a few extra seasons with that core of Zach, Gobert, DeMar, and Patrick Williams.
Yeah. And I would put Ball and Crusoe in there too, right? Sure. I think, because you'd have them. Yeah. I think that's one of the things that maybe is getting a little bit lost when I see some of the discussion, is it leaves us with, four guys. I hear that a lot and read that a lot. And that's not really true. You still have six, seven guys. You're still in, decent shape as far as, all right, well, we've got a pretty good starting five. I would assume one of the better ones in the league. And I'm not saying, this is why you make the Gobert trade or don't make it, but you've got a pretty good starting five. You've got a couple depth guys, and then you got to fill out around those guys, and you'll be okay. I just think it goes a little too far. I think people have gotten kind of, they see what happened with the Lakers, where it was like AD, LeBron, and Russ, and then a whole bunch of dudes on minimums. Well, that's how you don't build a team, right? Because that's too hard. You're not going to find 12 productive players on minimum contracts, which is virtually impossible. Even if they nailed a few of those signings, right? Carmelo ended up being a great signing for them. He was really good. Malik Monk was a great signing, really good. But Dwight Howard, DeAndre Jordan, like those ones weren't very good. And that's where, it kind of all fell apart on them. But yeah, you just got to be careful with the way you build it out. Cause what you can't have, if you go that route, you can't really have any misses. Cause then you're just not going to have the depth to get through the regular season, which I think was to some extent, they're kind of their undoing this year, right? When the injury train hit. Now they went like past the point of no return with injuries by the end. But when it first hit, they just didn't have enough guys to step in and slide in to step forward. So that's, I think more than ever in the NBA, with just the way we treat the regular season now, you got to have 7, 8, 9 guys who can really play. And you feel pretty good if we lose one or two, we're still in pretty good shape to slide the next guy in. When you get down to, we got 5 guys who can really play, you lose one or two of them, That's probably going to be the season.
All right, Keith, I have one or maybe two more names I want to throw at you to get your take on what you think is going to happen with them from a contract standpoint this offseason. But before that, Big Dave,
yes, sir.
Shout out the Athletic Greens, would you please?
I shall shout them out very, very hard, sir. because they have those 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens that help you start your day right. That special blend of ingredients that support your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, your recovery, your focus, and your aging, all the things you want to help. And it costs you less than $3 a day. It's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself, and you're investing in that all-in-one nutritional insurance, lifestyle friendly, gluten-free, Matt's favorite, dairy-free. It contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything. And it does all this while still tasting good, and it supports better sleep quality and recovery. But don't just take my word for it. Don't take the word of over 7,000 five-star reviews. Take the word of that man we call the GOAT, Will the Thrill Gottlieb, because he is down with the Athletic Greens, aren't you, Will?
I'm going to keep it real short today because I want to just keep picking Keith's brain here. But I'll say this. I'm glad I am on the Athletic Greens train, because otherwise there is no way I'm retaining all this information that Keith is giving us today without that mental sharpness that I get from my daily Athletic Greens.
You hear that? Mental sharpness?
Sharptitude.
Ooh, the flex right there. That's amazing. So to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of that immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/CHGO Bulls. That's athleticgreens.com/CHGO Bulls to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance, because it's Athletic Greens. You scoop it, you dump it, you shake it, you drink it, and you feel it.
All right. So, Keith, a name that's been going around a lot over the last few days is PJ Tucker. You know, quality vet, can give you things on both ends of the floor. The Bulls could certainly use his work on the glass. They certainly could use his corner threes. The Bulls were one of the worst corner three shooting teams in the NBA this past season. It was certainly one of their undoings as they got bounced out of the playoffs. Mark Stein said he's hearing a lot that 3 years, 30 to the Philadelphia 76ers is the most likely outcome for PJ Tucker right now. Just curious if the Bulls and potentially other teams are still capable of throwing something similar at PJ Tucker using the full mid-level exception. And if, kind of going back to what you were saying about the Lakers, you know, paying a veteran role player a quality mid-level exception and using all of it on one quality vet like that, as opposed to breaking it up, is something you see as a solid strategy.
Yeah, if you're going to use it all on one guy, it's going to be the right guy who fills a need for you. For where the Bulls are hoping to go, it needs to be somebody who can be on the floor in a playoff game for 25, 30 minutes a night if necessary. I don't think you can use it in that position on one guy if you're just, yeah, we think he might be pretty good. I think Chicago is now, you're not in the developmental prospect game anymore, not with the guys who are on this roster right now, not with the re-signs of Zach LaVine. You're in the let's try to go win. So you got to be going getting somebody you feel confident can be in there. Yeah, that could be PJ Tucker. Challenges with PJ Tucker, I think the 330 is being thrown out as just that's very easy math for everybody, right? 10 million a year. Mm-hmm. Off we go. It's probably going to be closer to 332.5, is my guess, because he'll get the most he can get out of that. I think the Philly connecting the dots is being done because James Harden's there, Daryl Morey's there. Those guys go back to their Houston roots together. I don't think Miami's going to let him go without putting up a fight, though, too. But, yeah, I mean, I think if PJ Tucker says to the world at 6 p.m. on June 30th, hey, I'm open, let's talk, I think you're going to have 10, 12 teams at least. They're going to say, hey, you want to talk full mid-level money? Whether that be through cap space or just through, you know, hey, that's, you know, that's what we can actually offer you. I think you're going to have a bunch of teams because I think he's just he may be one of the most plug and play guys in the entire league. Mm-hmm. Hey, go out there, play defense, and hit corner threes. Like, it's not, you know, I'm not making it out like it's easy to do, because if it was, I'd be doing it, but and I certainly can't. But I think it is, it's easy to say, all right, we know what he is, right? There's no projecting what PJ Tucker might be in a new system or anything like that. You just, we're going to put him in. He's going to do what he's done for a decade now. So I think that is, they'll have competition, but Miami loves him. So I'm not going to count out the Heat in, you know, trying to retain him, but yeah, he's going to have a market for sure. If they're serious about it. Now, if we start hearing, you know, at, well, let's be realistic, right? At 6:05, PJ Tucker's close with somebody else. That means PJ Tucker is only having a couple meetings, and that's where it's going to go. Or very likely, let's not be naive, he already had a couple meetings that we're not going to talk about until it's proper time, and that's where it goes, you know, because nobody enters into multi-million-dollar contracts in less than 5 minutes. It doesn't
happen. I mean, some team out there better get in trouble for tampering this summer, yeah, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, maybe.
If they're going to actually enforce that rule and stick the Bulls with a penalty, they got to penalize somebody else.
That's, well, that right. Was where, you know, it was funny. I laughed when, I don't know if you guys saw it, but there was a report from Josh Robbins of The Athletic that Bradley Beal said to him on the record, like, yeah, I've already made my decision. And a bunch of people were like, oh, man, what do you think? What do you think he decided? I'm like, well, if he's saying it on the record, I hope he decided he's going back to the Wizards, because otherwise we're talking tampering a month out. That's a whole other, you know, ball of wax problems there. So, yeah, here's my thing with the tampering is I have long since believed if the player is a pending free agent, the minute his team has played their last game of the season, you ought to be able to talk to whoever he wants. Can't enter into any kind of legal agreement until it's time, but talk to whoever you want, because what difference does it make? You're a free agent anyway. I don't have any problem with that. Guys, the guys who were under contract for 2, 3, 4 years, 5 years, some of them, no, that's not cool. That shouldn't be a thing because guy just signed. But, you know, that's all I could do, you know, an hour on that, and I know nobody wants to hear it anyway. I'll make my wife listen to it later.
It's all about that new league year. So, Keith, you mentioned the full mid-level exception and how that would work with PJ Tucker. Obviously, PJ is like the kind of guy who's not going to go to anything less than a contending caliber team. I wonder how many teams there are, you know, ideally we're throwing the Bulls into this category here, of teams that could realistically compete if they had a PJ Tucker. What, just like most likely scenario, how many other teams that could be in that contender category are going to be competing for a guy like PJ Tucker or TJ Warren, or I don't know, is Gary Harris somebody who's going to get that full mid-level money? How many teams are in that boat right now?
Yeah, teams that'll have the full mid-level available to them that are, you know, true contenders, because you're going to have some teams, obviously, like Sacramento is going to
we'll say true contenders and, like, you know,
yeah,
tier
perfect.
Two, I'm gonna Bulls caliber contenders.
Pull something up so that I have it in front of me. So I'm speaking from at least semi-educated place on this. So I would say Memphis, Miami, Minnesota, Toronto. Those four for sure will have the full taxpayer. Maybe Chicago. Let's see. They're getting, like we've talked about already. They're pretty close to that. Maybe New Orleans. Maybe Cleveland, maybe Charlotte. The last two, Cleveland and Charlotte, that's more try to push us over into being a playoff team. I think New Orleans kind of has big hopes and dreams for this coming year. But yeah, I think those four teams, Memphis, Miami, Minnesota, and Toronto, and then add Chicago into it. Everybody else is they're taxpayer mid-level type teams, and that's the tricky part. And then the cap space teams, I don't think any of them are serious towards like, okay, we're pushing in to be a title contender, not this year.
And that would also include Philadelphia, or are they now in trouble?
Philly's a little weird because and I do think what's going to happen here, I think Harden probably is in lockstep with that front office and says, all right, what do you need me to take that will give us enough room to go get PJ Tucker, avoid the hard cap, avoid the tax apron, all that stuff. And then he'll leave enough available for them to be able to do that and use that full tax, mid-level exception to go get Tucker, if that's what it is, or almost all of it. Because I think Harden is, it seems like they're making decisions together there in Philly with all this reporting of he'll either opt out and do an extension or, you know, he'll opt out and take less money maybe and do that kind of stuff. I think Harden has hit the point in his career where it's like, I just want to win. So if, you know, if I need to take, you know, $5 million less in first year salary, so be it. I'll figure it out. You know, it'll be fine. You know, I'll spend one night in instead of a one night out on the town, and I'll come out even.
I don't know, kid.
Yeah. Well, he'll get somebody. He'll get PJ Tucker to pay for that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. There you go.
Keith, I'm curious. Obviously, the biggest story in the NBA over the last few days has been this report that with his decision on his option looming, Kyrie is getting closer and closer to bolting out of Brooklyn, wants to go to the Lakers, but the Lakers can't put together any kind of package that the Brooklyn Nets would be remotely interested in. And then on top of that, well, if Kyrie bolts, then KD is going to come to the Nets and demand a trade, even though he's just beginning a fairly large contract. There are other pieces of that Brooklyn Nets team, if they were to blow it up, that I think Bulls fans could say, hey, we can use that piece. Yeah. I'm thinking, you know, shooters like Harris or Seth Curry. I'm thinking a big like Claxton. What do you think is the most likely outcome of all of this drama going over in Brooklyn? And do you think that there is a real chance that that team is completely blown up by the time we kick off the 22-23 season?
I think there is a chance it is, let's say, partially blown up. I think the big name guys, the ones who would push them towards being a title contender, I think your chance they're gone. I think some of the other guys that like you use Nick Claxton, I think then it almost becomes a little bit more of a priority to try to keep Nick Claxton, because then I think what you're trying to do is, all right, he's young enough that we can sign him and he can be part of whatever this rebuild is going to look like. Because it's very clear if you're just going to lose Kyrie, which maybe is the way that goes, then you got to trade. If Kevin Durant says, I want out, then you trade Kevin Durant. You're looking for multiple young players, multiple draft picks, and you're basically doing a full reset of where you're at. And then you're looking at, all right, well, Ben Simmons is maybe still young enough. We can figure that out. Nick Claxton, young enough. We can get him re-signed. But then, yeah, you're right. You're probably saying, all right, well, what good is Seth Curry as a really good perimeter shooter doing on this team? You know, if we're rebuilding, I kind of look at, I don't know if you guys are baseball fans at all, but I kind of look at it as the old saying of, you, there's no point in having a good closer on a bad team, right? Because is there to close out? Right. Might as well just move that guy along. I look at it as, yeah, there's no reason to have a shooting specialist on a bad team. What are you trying to win? Like, you're not trying to win anything, so you might as well move the guy along. And we know there's always a market for shooters. So, yeah, I think that would be, you know, interesting. I think you've got a guy like Patty Mills who's sitting there right now saying, like, hey, would you tell me what the heck is going on here so I can decide on my own option? Like, because I don't necessarily want to be stuck to be traded, right? I might want to just opt out and go pick a new team all on my own. So it is definitely a situation where if we were talking even a week, well, probably now 2 weeks ago, because it's kind of been bubbling for a little bit, I would have been like, there's no planet in the universe or any plane of the multiverse in, you know, MCU terms, where Kyrie Irving is opting out of that extension to go sign for $6 million and throwing away $30 million. And then the more I got thinking about it, I said, well, dude threw away half his salary last year. He says over and over and over again, the money's not important. I don't care about it. If there's anybody in the league who's going to do it, it might be Kyrie Irving.
That's a good point. I wanted to ask you about a guy who has now officially become available today, and that was Miles Bridges. I'm interested as to where you think would be a good landing spot for him, because I keep hearing the Pistons come up when I hear Miles Bridges, but in your opinion, what would be a good place for him?
Yeah, I don't hate the idea of him on the Pistons. I kind of just hope he stays home in Charlotte and they you know, come to their senses and they re-sign him and do, you know, at least, you know, what it takes to get there within reason, you know, for them. So I think that team, you know, hiring Steve Clifford sends a signal we're not rebuilding. He's not a rebuilding coach. He's somebody you want to win with sooner rather than later. So I think it turns into, yeah, let's get him. Let's you know, do that. He's one of their better defenders, obviously, on that roster. Now, that's not saying much. The four of us would be the best defensive players on that roster, probably.
I got six fouls. Okay.
That's it, right? Yeah, I got six fouls and some physical defense. You did. Might be mostly me falling over you, but that's all right. But
stop the ball.
Yeah, that's it. I do think it's, you know, it is important too that you retain your own when you're in that position. Because what message are you sending to guys like LaMelo Ball? If you're, it's too much money. We got to let him walk. Like, that gets crazy. But, yeah, if he leaves, I think people are connecting. He went to Michigan State, Detroit. Mm-hmm. Like, that's right. Sometimes those connections aren't real, right? And then other times they are very real. So, mm-hmm. I'm not sure. But, yeah, he's definitely an interesting kind of guy to keep an eye on, because I'm a big Miles Bridges guy. I think he's become a really, really good player. Here's something I don't think a lot of people realize. He averaged almost 4 assists per game last year, which as a playmaking forward is a pretty good number for him, considering when you think about how much time LaMelo Ball, Terry Rozier, and Gordon Hayward have the ball in their hands. Him averaging 4 assists per game is a pretty good number.
Yeah, him being their leading scorer, it wouldn't make sense to me why you would pay Hayward all that money, but you wouldn't give it to Miles Bridges, who is clearly the running partner for LaMelo. So, I don't know what's going on over there.
Yeah, we're 2 years now into that Hayward contract, and I think Celtics fans are like, "Yep, that was how it was gonna go." Like, you got 2 years when he plays, he looks really good, and you're really excited about what he and your team might be, and then you don't see him for 2 months at a time. Like, it's just, poor that poor guy. Since signing with Boston, I don't know what happened to him injury wise. I don't know what deal with the devil he made, but it's come back to Colin now, and he's in tough straits.
Keith, I'm curious about another restricted free agent. It seems kind of like maybe we're seeing a trend here of 24-year-olds on restricted free agency starting to move teams, with obviously Lonzo last summer and Lauri Markkanen, Miles Bridges potentially. But the guy I'm interested in is DeAndre Ayton. He's been another, what can the Bulls do to possibly upgrade their center position? I want to go get DeAndre Ayton. But there are some complications with how that would work in terms of base year compensation. Is there any world where a trade like Vooch for Ayton could work? And where do you see Ayton realistically ending up?
I like how Will's like, I don't know anything about the cap, and then he throws out base year compensation.
I'm setting you up to sound smart, Keith.
Hey, no, I appreciate it, man. So base year compensation only really comes into play in a sign and trade with players who are getting a significant bump in salary. And essentially what it does, in the case of Ayton, I'll make the numbers really easy, $30 million max salary for him. That's the number. Let's just use the Bulls for the example. That's the number the Bulls need to be able to bring in. But on the Sun side, he only counts at $15 million in outgoing salary. So that makes that imbalance very hard to make trades work, unless there's an exception involved or you're trading the player into cap space. So in the case of the Bulls, you could say, all right, we're going to send Vucevic back. But that math doesn't necessarily work for those two teams, right? The other challenge is, again, if you're signing Ayton, you're probably doing that because you're re-signing Zach LaVine. Now you're going to be getting really close to that hard cap line. And if you're hard capped, remember, you can't bring in a player via sign and trade. That includes if the trade makes you over the hard cap. They figure all that after. So what they do is they plug all the numbers in, and then they say, you'll be over the hard cap, so you can't do it. It's not allowed. It wouldn't be an approved trade. So that's where those imbalanced trades get really, really difficult. It would probably be, if they wanted to do something like that, you'd have to go involve a third team to say, hey, we got to move a little bit of money around on both sides to get that third team involved. So the Bulls are sending out enough, but the Suns are bringing back what they can bring back. But, in the general framework, I don't hate the idea of Ayton for Vucevic, just as kind of the primaries of a trade, because I think you could craft something that makes sense there for the Suns. The challenge is the Suns, I don't think, even if they're going to let Ayton go, they're not going to let him go for nothing. So it's going to have to be a sign and trade or something, because they're in a position where you can't really replace him, functionally, if he leaves. And that's where it gets really difficult.
Last one, Keith, and then we'll let you go. As we are just a couple days away from free agency opening, everybody knows that it's pretty much just a handful of small market teams that have real money to throw around as far as, cap space. We met, a big Dave mentioned Detroit and Bridges. Detroit has money. Indiana has cap space. Orlando, San Antonio. None of these are top-tier free agent destinations. And simultaneously, there aren't really that many top tier star player free agents in this free agent class. Zach, among the biggest, Beal is most recently reported expecting to sign a big new contract to stay in Washington. Harden probably staying in Philly. Do you think NBA fans need to prepare themselves for a fairly low-key free agent summer compared to some monsters we've had in recent years? Or do you still think that even though it's small market teams, even though the free agent class isn't as, you know, star-studded as some, that there's still going to be some big wild waves happening in the first week of July?
Yeah, I'm gonna use what you said, because I'm gonna twist the words just slightly on that. And I think free agent summer, yeah, relax on that. That's probably not going to be big stuff. But we've been calling it on my show on NBA front office show. We've been calling it summer of the trade, because I think we're gonna have a whole bunch of trades. I think if you could get teams to be really honest, I think there are probably 10, 12 teams that are looking at and saying, why not us next year? Celtics, Warriors, they're not inevitable. These are not the Warriors and the Cavs where everybody kind of was like, yeah, we're all playing for second in our own conferences unless something really crazy happens. I think teams are really looking at and saying, we can be them next year. We can beat that team. We can get there. And I think now those teams in general don't really have cap space, but they can make moves via trades. And I think you have teams like Orlando, Detroit, some of those others that may still be in their own rebuilding curve, willing to say, hey, we'll help. We'll help a trade go through as long as we get a young player we like, we get a draft pick, something like that. You know, we'll help facilitate these trades. So I think we are going to get, you know, I mean, obviously, if we get word a couple days from now that Kyrie Irving is going to the Lakers, no matter what, like, get ready, because that's going to set off who knows what, right? All sorts of madness. But even if it is, hey, everybody came to their senses and he's just re-signing with the Nets, I still think we're going to get a lot of player movement. It's just not going to happen through signings. It's going to happen through trades. I think we've got a lot of teams. And I think teams now are being very smart about saying, we don't want to sit in the middle. It's not like just making the playoffs. Maybe if we haven't been there in 4 or 5 years, like the Kings, right? They'd love to just get there, right? Yeah, or the Bulls last year to some extent, right? Like, just get us back there, right? I want to play meaningful games in April, right? That is important, that everybody should have that goal within a window. But I think you have some teams that are like, oh, we've kind of done it. Like, we didn't go anywhere. So let's really bottom this thing out. Let's tear it down and let's rebuild. And I think that's where that opens up all those trade possibilities. So I think we're in for a really fun summer, even without necessarily a whole bunch of major free agent movement.
I love that. Let's get crazy. Keith, thank you so much for your time and your insight, man. Bulls Nation, if you aren't following Keith and his incredible work covering the NBA, caps, contracts, and more, you need to check him out. Check out his work on SpotTrack. Also on the NBA front office show on that YouTube channel. Subscribe to them if you aren't already, and follow him on Twitter at Keith Smith NBA. Keith, thanks so much for joining us, man. We and our listeners just learned a hell of a lot and are now prepared for free agency to start.
I appreciate y'all. Thanks for having me.
All right, y'all. Well, that's it for today. We are back tomorrow in studio Tuesday, 3 p.m. Chicago time, with another live episode for you. Until then, for our guests Keith and Will and Dave, I'm Matt. See Red, be good.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.